morning is case number 17-0857, State of Nebraska versus Cody Lamberson. 17-0857, State versus Lamberson, please vote. Please.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel,
members of the audience.
Your Honors, this is a case that arises from a criminal conviction in Sarpy County. Cody Lamberson was convicted of child enticement a year and a half ago. There's two issues that have been raised, or two errors that have been raised in this case. And the first, I think we can just dispose of really quickly, that's the ineffective assistance of counsel. There were some questions about trial strategy, but again, I don't think the record's sufficient to show prejudice. I raise those issues on behalf of Mr. Lamberson simply so he wouldn't be procedurally barred come time for a post-conviction, should he get that
done. What about his failure to file the motion, or file or either renew the motion to suppress?
Well, again, like I said, Your Honor, I think that's probably questioning trial strategy. It's one of those things that, for whatever reason, trial counsel decided not to take these particular routes. And again, I had to just raise those to preserve that for purposes of the post-conviction.
Excuse me, which takes us to the sufficiency of the evidence?
Right, immediately, really. And in this case, the issue really is, I think, was the evidence presented sufficient to show beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Lamberson persuaded SL to engage in an act which would be a violation of, in particular, 28.319. 28.320.02 talks about, I think there's like four different statutes that could be the basis for a violation of 28.320. And in this particular case, I think we're obviously looking at 28.319, which in layperson's terms has probably been statutory rape. Somebody who's 19 or over having sexual relations with somebody who is under the age of 16 but over 12.
Specifically for 319, for purposes of 319, the word is penetration, right? They have to demonstrate that there was solicitation with respect to the act of sexual penetration, correct?
Correct. Was the defendant attempting to persuade someone who's in that age group to engage in sexual penetration in violation of 28.319? And in this case, I submit to the court that this is one of those fact scenarios which is on the far end of the spectrum from beyond reasonable doubt. And what I'm referring to, and I know we have a young audience here, my brief does cite to several different cases. And the meat of those cases is, and I wanted to point out, I had also noted just in preparing for this, there was a separate case I found from Massachusetts, and the thing is there's just not a lot of guidance on what constitutes enticement. Most of the enticement cases you read about talk about when it's an assignment of error, it involves somebody who's posing as a police officer. And so the argument typically is, look, you can't have enticement when there's not an actual child out there.
The Supreme Court's spoken to it, though, have they not? It's persuasion.
Persuasion,
right.
Correct.
It's persuasion. It goes to persuasion. And in this particular context, we're talking about a text, right, or a series of texts.
Yes.
As it relates to the persuasion to engage in an act.
And the issue is, are these texts, do they amount to persuasion?
Right.
That's really the gist of the things here.
And my understanding is it all started through Snapchat.
Correct.
Correct. An exchange between her and her stepbrother?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, as the audience well knows, Snapchat doesn't exist beyond its 24 hours. So we don't have any of that information.
Right.
Correct? But we do have the text.
We do have the text, which pick up after the Snapchat conversation. And I think the very first text in that Exhibit 4 was a question. And it's the question that really kind of goes to the heart of this. Does this amount to persuasion or not? And that question was, would you really hook up with me? Sounds like a statement in response to something that had been said before. I'm not quite sure because, again, we don't have that evidence. The court did not have that evidence of the Snapchat conversation. Just simply put, after it was out there, it stopped existing. And there was really no testimony about the substance of that. So we pick up with, would you really hook up with me? And the issue really is, does that amount to persuasion of this child to engage in sexual penetration in violation of 28319?
And it's more than just that line, right? I mean, there's a series of texts after would you hook up with me where he talks about how it feels, right?
There's a total of, I believe there's a total of 7 or 8 texts from Lamberson and about the same from SL. It's okay, I know you want it. I know, but I want you. You're super hot. I'll show you how good it feels. Yeah, and I haven't been with another woman. I know it makes me want it a little more, but I'll stop and I'll bring it up again. I'm sorry. It was a joke. I just read the
He's 24?
24.
She was 15.
15, yes. And the issue, of course, is at what level does it become more than, and I'm gonna just cite this case from Massachusetts, and it's probably similar to the, I believe it was the Atchison case in Nebraska. The Massachusetts case is Commonwealth versus Disler, D-I-S-L-E-R, 451 Massachusetts, 216, 2008. But it says the same thing, really, I believe, that Atchison does. Atchison says, well, I just engaged in sexy chat and there wasn't anything else above and beyond that. Well, in Atchison, the court said, BS, there was. There was stuff above and beyond engaging in sexy chat. You said exactly what you were going to do. You arranged times and dates to meet. You know, you did all this stuff. You said this stuff. And that arises, that amounts to persuasion. The Disler case, the defendant in that case says, well, there's got to be more than just merely sending words. And the court in that case says, sure, you've got to show that you've got an intent to violate one of these underlying statutes. And, you know, you did. You talked about these things you want to specifically do. In Disler, you made explicit statements about wanting to have penetration digitally and other ways. And you tried to arrange meetings on top of all that. So it shows in Disler, the court said, defendant, you did have this intent. This does amount to persuasion, and so it is more than merely words.
Is it your position that asking to hook up isn't specific enough as it relates to the communication? Is that what you're saying? That he had to get more specific with regard to what he was asking for?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely, Your Honor. I think that, first of all, I think that the definition of hookup can mean multiple things. I've hooked up with friends after work for drinks, and, you know, for dinner. I mean, I think that's just a thing to say. But I think that in this particular case, the defendant, Mr. Lamberson, is not saying, these are the things I'm going to do to you, this is how I'm going to do them to you, this is when I'm going to do them to you, so on and so forth. He's just not saying that. These are all vague facts as to what's going to be done and when.
Can I take you to Miranda real quick and the handling of that by the Sophie County investigator? Are you troubled by that at all? No.
It doesn't smell good. I don't think it passes the smell test. I think that once Mr. Lamberson says, you know, that I've got an attorney.
Did you say that at the beginning or at the end, though?
I think it was in the middle, if I recall.
And did Morrissey stop questioning at that point, or did he continue?
I thought he continued. But again, I only raised that issue. That's really a trial strategy issue. And should that motion have been raised again, that really is a strategical question that can best be answered by trial counsel.
Do you think the statements, though, that he made as a part of that interrogation were harmful to him in that trial?
No. I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
So
I think
just solely the text that were put in there.
Right. Lamberson says, this is all taken out of context. And it really is. When you compare this to all these other enticement cases, and when I say all these others, there aren't a whole lot. There's 4 by my count in Nebraska, maybe 5. And of those that challenge sufficiency of evidence, again, you've got the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court saying to these appellants, wait a second, this is more than merely words. You've described exactly what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how you're going to penetrate, how you're going to engage in penetration, when, where. And I think I said in the brief in this case, you know, in Lamberson, we know the who. We know Lamberson. We know SL. We don't know the how, what, where, when. We don't know any of that.
Wasn't he just laying the groundwork? Are you interested? Would you hook up with me? I want to show you how good it can feel.
Well, and again, we don't know because it clearly follows a Snapchat conversation, and the very first text is, wait a second, would you really do that? So we don't know. We don't have the context because it's not in evidence. And if it's not in evidence, I just don't know how we can have a really more reasonable evidence.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Good morning, Constable.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Austin Brown. I'm from the state of Nebraska. Lamberson argues, one, the evidence is insufficient to support his conviction, and two, that he received an effective decision to counsel in various respects. I set forth my brief, and as I'll be dealt here shortly, we see no merit to his arguments, and ask the Court to affirm the judgment below. Moving first to the sufficiency, as I said in my brief, the two statutes, and I think counsel agrees with me, 28.3.102, 28.319, and you put them together, and basically what has been shown was that Lamberson used an electronic communication device to knowingly solicit, coax, entice, or lure a child 16 years of age or younger to conduct or engage in conduct in violation, in this case, 28.319, which is sexual penetration from somebody older than 19 and somebody between 12 and 16 years old.
So where is the evidence of sexual penetration here?
Well, I think it's from the text message conversation, and I think context is key. And as Your Honor pointed out, or as opposing counsel pointed out, too, in this brief side note, the Snapchat conversation itself is not in evidence, but SL did testify that basically it was more of a 20-minute conversation, just talking, getting to know each other again. They hadn't seen each other in well over a year because of foster placement and things. So her testimony was that there was nothing really untoward about Snapchat conversation, so it rests on the text messages. Lamberson says, would you really hook up with me? SL says, and she explained in her testimony the typos, I don't know, you're drunk, I'm your little sister. He says, it's okay, I know you wouldn't. She says, I'm sorry, and you got a wife for that. He says, I know, but I want you. She says, why? Text me, because I don't have Wi-Fi. He says, you're super hot, which I'll show you how good it feels. She says, oh. Lamberson says, yeah, and I haven't been with another woman in 5 years, and I really like you. She says, Lamberson, I'm your little sister. He says, I know. It makes me want this a little more, but I'll stop and not bring it up again. I'm sorry. That context makes it clear exactly what he's asking for and what he wants. Sexual relations with SL.
Well, it may be sexual, but where is the evidence of penetration?
Well, I think, like I said, the context, common reading, knowledge of what hooking up means, is pretty clear in our view.
Well,
he's asking for sex.
Hooking up means a lot of things to a lot of different people.
Not in this context, I disagree. I think
we're talking beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yes.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yes. I think that is beyond a reasonable doubt that he's seeking to persuade her to have sex. And that's the main issue, I guess, and the other elements are well established to use the phone, the timing of it all.
Counsel, the state called an expert witness as it relates to the meaning of hookup, did they not?
It's been a while since I read the bill of acceptance. They did call Detective Morrissey. I don't know if he's
right. Detective
testifying
Morrissey.
In an expert capacity, but he did testify what he thought hooking up meant.
He was allowed to testify with regard to his experience with regard to what hookup meant, right?
Yes.
And in that, he said that it meant sexual contact.
Yes.
Did he not?
He
didn't say sexual penetration,
right.
Correct? So sexual contact can be a much broader, have much broader meaning than the subset, which would be sexual penetration. Would you agree with that?
Yes. But it's sort of anticipating your question. I don't mean to cut you off. But to two responses. One is that he's a detective. He's not testifying in, I guess, in a way that restricts his state to the legal definitions. Maybe he's just kind of using sexual contact as a general term. But two, that does not restrict the fact finder in this case, the district court, from looking at the text messages and seeing exactly what that means. And like I said in the brief and in your argument, I think it's common knowledge, considering the context here, of exactly what he's asking for, which is sexual penetration. And sexual penetration, broadly defined in 23, can to include sex in the ordinary meaning of the word, which is what I think we're getting at here, as well as fellatio, etc.
So your point is it starts with asking for one thing, but if you look at all the texts and take them together, it becomes quite clear to you that what he meant was sexual penetration.
Yes.
What effect, if any, does the victim's testimony have on her perception of what it was?
I don't know that it has that great of an effect. We're looking at it objectively here, the text messages were going to his intent, knowingly soliciting, enticing, coaxing, etc. So the effect on her, I don't know, is relevant beyond if it's an objective response. And I think, like I said, the context here is that he's asking for sex, and she's 15, he's 24, through her cell phone text messages. I mean, it's all the elements of 23, 24, 22. And recall, too, that we're, the standard of review is in our favor at this stage. That's all established in the case law. So, unless there are further questions, our position is that the evidence was sufficient as far as the ineffective assistance counsel claims. Like I said in my brief, I think there's no merit to the motion to suppress that was filed, which is why it was called a withdrawn. And the record is sufficient to address that and dispose of that claim on the merits. The waiver, he was advised of his Miranda rights. He said he understood them. I cited a case in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals where basically in that situation he continued to talk. It's an implied waiver, which foregoes the Miranda claim. And then the Miranda waiver itself, if he was Supreme Court mission, also generally waives the Sixth Amendment right to counsel. So the rights to counsel under the Fifth and Sixth Amendment are not violated. And so I suspect that's why the trial counsel issued that motion.
If the investigator knew that counsel had been appointed, could he proceed with his interrogation, knowing the fact that he knew counsel had been appointed?
He gets a waiver.
Why was there not a written waiver here?
I'm not sure, but there is case law in Nebraska and elsewhere that says a written waiver is not required. The waiver is internally sufficient. It's a question of did he understand the rights, did he know that he was doing the waiver, and he acknowledged that he understood exactly what he was being advised of.
Because counsel, he knew counsel had been appointed, did he need to go through counsel at that point to get a waiver, or could he just go up and approach him and ask him himself?
Well, I believe he could just, he's in custody as long as he gives him the Miranda warnings. I'm pretty sure he can proceed. I did not research that quite as thoroughly as the other issues solved or what we have found.
If you gave him the Miranda warnings, which include you have a right to a counsel, and if you can't afford one, one won't be appointed for you, why wasn't the issue of, I already have appointed counsel, brought up right at the beginning?
I guess you'd have to. I don't know why he did not bring that up. It was short, as I recall from the audio recording, it wasn't a video recording, but the indication to the police officer that he had counsel was more toward the end. In the middle, but one from the end as well, recording. And at that point, even assuming, that's not a clear indication of the right to counsel anyway, so I don't think that would force the officer to stop the interrogation at that point either. So I guess I don't see any Miranda or right to counsel violations, which is why I submit the records to address that claim and disclose it. As to the other, I'll just submit my brief, I suppose, I think that the allegation of deficient performance.
This conviction carries a mandatory minimum sentence.
Yes. This was a 1D, I believe, so it would be 350, 34.
3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Mandatory 3.
I let me double check, but I'm pretty sure it was, yeah, 1BI, I think that's the right one. That's for us for questions.
Thank you. Any time for you, Doug? Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.